Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Right, change of plans first. This week with Justice Minister Andrew Little, we discussed about the composition of the next government and whether cannabis-related criminal records should be purged if the cannabis referendum legalises cannabis. But I began by asking the minister what he did and his thoughts on the election over the weekend.
Oh, very good, yeah. Having sort of been around various electoral campaigns in the weeks leading up to the night, you certainly got a very clear sentiment that there was a lot of support for the government. I think we hadn't anticipated the level of support. So, look, it was very pleasing. There was great sense. I think the fact that there is now an outright majority in Parliament is, look, while we enjoy it, it carries with it a huge responsibility. There are a whole lot of people who have supported the Labor Party who haven't done so before, and we have to honour that and respect that as well.
What is the government going to do for the next 3 years to maintain that support, considering there has been a really massive swing from National to Labor this term?
Yeah, I think, governing means that you do things that can be unpopular as well. So we've done, in the last 3 years, we've done things that has won the confidence of a whole lot of people, a whole lot more people who previously were perhaps at least indifferent to us. So we respect that. But I think in the end, you know, when you look at the campaign and Jacinda's message throughout the campaign, it is that we do have a plan, both to continue the health response to the pandemic, but most importantly, we have a plan for the economic recovery as well. And the plan for that economic recovery isn't to go back to the way they were, but to focus on, you know, the skills formation, the training that is needed, the new business activities and the new enterprises that are needed to generate the jobs, and lifting the value of work as well, making sure that people are rewarded well and fairly for what they do, and then ensuring a robustness to the economy. So all those things are, you know, those are the challenges that lie before us.
Could we see for the next 3 years a robust transformation of something that Labour always claimed to want to be doing, or something a little bit off centre of the road to retain the swing that got National votes on board?
I think the vote is of not just an expression of confidence in the way the government has handled the pandemic, but also an expression of confidence in Jacinda Ardern and her leadership and what Jacinda has been saying about the economic recovery. It does have to be transformative. We know we have this massive shortage of housing, and we're seeing this property price bubble emerging yet again. We've got to get on and do, fix the housing crisis. Likewise, when it comes to poverty, including child poverty, we know that there's a whole bunch of people whose incomes are so low that, you know, they struggle to make ends meet, they struggle to live with dignity. We have to do something about that, not just in terms of what we do in the welfare space and the welfare spending, but what we do in terms of incomes generally. So, you know, continuing to lift the minimum wage, but actually putting in place the mechanisms that keeps upward pressure on wages, especially at the low end of the labour market. We need to continue to do that. So these things you might describe as transformative, and they're all things that we have had at various times in our history, but they're things where there is a huge gap at the moment, and we need to be doing something about that.
Labour could manage to govern alone for the next 3 years, but for you, are you open to the idea of a Labour coalition with the Green Party or a confidence and supply with them?
I think we've had a good relationship with the Green Party, and indeed we did with New Zealand First under the government of the last 3 years, but the reality is Labour has a mandate to govern on its own. We have to respect that mandate. That doesn't mean to say we don't continue with good, positive, constructive relations with the Greens. The Prime Minister is negotiating with the Greens at the moment. They'll get to where they get to. But I think, you know, we've got to weigh all those things up. The fact that it is Labour that has the mandates to govern alone. But we want to, make sure that we maintain a good, positive relationship with the Green Party. They've got some good, talented people there. They've got some good ideas and their kind of manifesto lineup. It'd be silly not to draw on that talent and those ideas, but how that is reflected in governing arrangements, I think, is yet to be decided.
What sort of portfolios do you want in the next government?
Look, it's a bit kind of premature to say at the moment. In the end, the Prime Minister's got a job to weigh up, the people available to her, the people who she wants in the Cabinet, and then how she wants to allocate those responsibilities. So I've thoroughly enjoyed every portfolio I've had up to now, and there have been some good ones and some challenging ones. But in the end, you know that as both as an MP and potentially as a minister, you're there to serve, and you're there to make up cohesive, coherent government. And I've got to respect the judgment of the Prime Minister when it comes to the allocation of those portfolios. So, you contribute what you're asked to contribute.
Right. Assuming that you might retain the role as Justice Minister for the next 3 years, what would your priorities be first?
In terms of justice, we need to continue the work we've been doing in criminal justice reform. We sort of got some things underway. We've got a good dialogue underway, but I think there's more in terms of delivering on that, in terms of actual change, structural change, what have you. But there's a real appetite to do that. So there's that. In terms of other things, I want to get the review of adoption laws underway. That's long overdue. We have the Law Commission committed to doing the work on surrogacy. I think it's long overdue to review our electoral laws. They haven't been reviewed for nearly 30 years. There are clearly some gaps in that, but we want a proper ground-up review. It's got to be involve all parties and indeed the public in that as well, so setting that up. There's a range of things, I think, that are long overdue.
How far is banning conversion therapy on that list?
Oh, no, that's a priority. We made that a specific commitment. You can expect action on that pretty early, actually.
Right. Moving on to other portfolios. Now, Jacinda Ardern said Kelvin Davis would be the Deputy Prime Minister, but as of now, he hasn't said he would accept the role. What do you think? Do you think Kelvin Davis should be the Deputy Prime Minister?
That's a matter for the Prime Minister and him. Kelvin is the party's deputy leader. I fully expect he will continue in that role. But when it comes to allocating the cabinet roles, including Deputy Prime Minister, that's a matter for the Prime Minister. She has to weigh a lot of things up. Kelvin has proven himself in a way that, you don't see. He's a very solid, stable figure, stabilising figure. He's done great things in the corrections portfolio. He's a very fine person, and if the Prime Minister selects him, that'll be a good thing. But in the end, it's got to be the Prime Minister's judgment.
In your opinion, if Kelvin Davis doesn't get the role, do you think it will cause a kind of backlash against Labour from Māoridom, especially when Rāwiri Waititi of the Māori Party supports having Kelvin Davis as Deputy Prime Minister as well, and Labour has just lost Wairiki?
Yeah, I don't think it's Rāwiri to be saying that. It's a bit cheeky of him. If he really supported Kelvin Davis to be a Labour MP, then Rāwiri would have stayed in the Labour Party, but he didn't. So what the Māori Party says and does is a matter for them. I think we have a very, very strong Māori caucus. It has grown as a result of this election. I think we're up to 15 Māori MPs now. Māori can totally rely on and trust the Labour Party and a Labour government to continue to deliver for Māori. We've delivered a lot more for Māori in the 3 years we've been in government than was delivered in the 9 years of the previous government that involved the Māori Party. So regardless of the Prime Minister's choice for Deputy Prime Ministership, I think Māori will continue to be able to look to the Labour Party for delivering on their priorities.
Going back a little bit to the election result, did you foresee this same time last year?
No, we know that we've maintained a pretty high degree of support throughout the time we've been in government, and right up until earlier this year, and I think the pandemic response really strengthened that support. I think more recently, I got a sense probably in the last 3 or 4 weeks that the result in the election might not just be a high level of support, but may indeed be a landslide, although I didn't want to entertain that idea too eagerly. In the end, it was a landslide, and I think that did reflect the fact that people had such confidence in Jacinda Ardern's leadership. It's because of the pandemic, but also because of the response to the mosque attacks in Whakaari, White Island, that whatever crisis was thrown our way, Jacinda displayed an extraordinary quality of leadership, empathetic, compassionate, responsible and practical, and I think that's what people really favoured. So look, we might not have foreseen this a year ago, but I think in the closing weeks of the campaign it became apparent that there was a strong level of support.
I guess you're equally, or maybe say, more than pleased to see New Plymouth going Labour, considering you ran twice beforehand.
Yeah, no, that was. I supported Glenn Bennett, who's the new MP for New Plymouth. I supported him a lot. He's a great guy. He's very well connected within New Plymouth and ran a very strong, very good campaign, very positive campaign. It was great to lend whatever support I could to that, but it is total credit to Glenn, and personally very satisfying for me to see that and the extent of the support that Glenn was able to win over.
And moving on to the final topic, I just want to have a little catch up on the cannabis referendum. Mm. Now, you recently said, even though if the referendum resulted in a yes vote, the government has no plans to wipe past cannabis-related convictions from criminal records, related criminal records. So I just want to know, why is that?
I think there's a thing about the rule of law, which is the law is the law as it is at the moment. It's been enacted by Parliament. We do expect people to respect the law, even though they may disagree with it. And if they choose not to, then they've got to suffer the consequences. Now, the law might change subsequently because there's a more enlightened approach, but nevertheless, at the time that the law was in place, as it does now, prohibits cannabis use, and you don't comply with that law, then you've got to accept the consequences that go with that. Now, I don't think there is an argument, at least in rule of law terms, to say that even though the law might change, therefore we should retrospectively change the consequences of those who didn't comply with the law at the time.
Well, Ross Bell from the Drug Foundation says there needs to be changes because the consequences of having a drug conviction, especially if the referendum resulted in a yes, is kind of hard on offenders because they are suffering the consequences of having of committing a crime that's not considered a crime now. And in fact, in Canada, the government has introduced an application system for cannabis-related pardons. So is this something that the government would consider in the next term?
Well, we're not looking at it at this point. I doubt whether we will, as I say. In rule of law terms, you might disagree with a law. And like, aside from laws that are based on some sort of outdated morality, so we used to have the anti-homosexual laws and stuff, and when we changed those laws to a more enlightened approach, we did allow for expungement of crimes related to that. But for cannabis, it's a prohibition. There's arguments either way about whether or not it should be prohibited. There's a view now, in my view, an enlightened view that says that prohibition hasn't worked. But in rule of law terms, you've got to know that when Parliament, the will of the people, passes a law and says this is wrong and there's a penalty if you breach it, you've got to observe that. Otherwise, you say every time Parliament passes a law, you'll have a bunch of people saying, well, I don't like that law and it might change next year or 20 years or 50 years or 100 years' time, so I don't have to observe it. That is the antithesis of the rule of law, and it's not something we should be encouraging.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.